Who knows what the second verse, second line says, I love thy rocks and rills. What's a rill? A stream. Okay, thanks. I didn't know that. I love thy rocks and streams. Well, good morning again. It was kind of a wet and rainy day yesterday. Did anybody go see fireworks anyway? Did anybody light off their own fireworks? All right, I love fireworks. And then there's other stuff that we do on 4th of July. Eat. Yeah, eating's a good part. The picnics and the cookouts and the... We went over to my grandma's house, and my aunt and little cousins are there, and we grilled out. We had hot dogs and hamburgers and all sorts of other stuff to go with it, so that was a great time. What's special about the 4th of July? Freedom, founding of our country. It's Independence Day, and people celebrate it all sorts of ways. Some people, well, everybody eats, but we have parades, we have fireworks, we have barbecues, we have family get-togethers. People go, you know, people take the time off to go and do stuff they enjoy, like fishing or boating or whatever. And it's a day that lots of people celebrate. I'm sure that most people in here did something to relax, to enjoy the day, to celebrate the holiday. But I wonder how many of us really stopped to think about what it was in celebration of. Like, really took the time to think about why we spend so much money on, you know, food and fireworks and celebrating, what the point is. You know, sometimes it's kind of like Christmas. We'd go through the traditions of Christmas and don't stop to think about Christmas. So I wonder about how many people thought about independence on Independence Day, what it means. What do you think of when you think of the word independence? What comes to mind? There's all sorts of... What? We're free to be free. And independence, the word gets used in a lot of different ways. You think about independence like a child growing up and moving out of the house and becoming independent. You know, they don't live with their parents anymore. Or independent contractors as opposed to being, you know, there's companies and corporations and things that are independent rather than being part of I can't even think of the word now. Yeah. And so there's lots of ways that the word independence gets used. And in government, you know, when we talk about having independence as a government, which came from way back when we used to be part of the British Empire, and so people talk about nowadays, 200 and something years later, being a free country. As a matter of fact, I hear it abused so much, they use whatever behavior they want to do, and they excuse it with, it's a free country. I can do what I want. It's a free country. You hear that? I'm sure you've heard that quite a few times. It's a free country. I can do whatever I want. But from the very beginning of our country, you know, when the nation was just born, a long time ago, and the founding fathers first declared independence, that's what Jed Smock read last week, the Declaration of Independence, when they said that we want to be independent from England, they didn't do it because they just wanted to do whatever they wanted. They just wanted to be, you know, free to kind of take whatever liberties they felt like and have anarchy. They did it because they wanted to have a better government. It's not that they wanted to just have freedom to live according to their own whims. They really wanted to be governed. They just wanted to be governed better. They wanted to be governed, to be self-controlled rather than controlled by the British. And that's what our system of government, that's why our system of government was designed to be run by the people, for the people, so that we're free, but we're independent. And a person who is truly independent, I'm going to talk about independence a little bit more, a person who's truly independent is free, not because they can do whatever they want, but because they are self-controlled. It's because they have discipline. They take responsibility for their own decisions, and that's where freedom begins. A person who lives without any control is not only a danger to themselves, but to all the people around them. I mean, think about driving down the highway. We have control when we're driving down the highway. You control your speed, you control your steering. If you let go of all that and you live free, you're not going to live very long. And the same thing applies to regular life, to moral decisions, to social decisions, to economic decisions. You have to have some control because otherwise you lose your freedom. Freedom is not the absence of rules and limits and requirements. Freedom is just having the ability to limit yourself. And I'll show you what I mean from the Bible. If you want to turn to the beginning of the Bible, down in Genesis chapter 2, at verse 15, it's where we first start learning about what independence is. Genesis chapter 2, at verse 15, this is what it says. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. But the Lord gave him this warning: you may freely eat any fruit in the garden. So he's free to eat whatever he wants. He can help himself to all the trees, except the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So does that mean Adam was free to do evil? Because God said, you can eat whatever you want. You're not allowed to eat this tree. But he gave him the ability. Like, Adam was free in the garden. He could choose to eat from that tree, or otherwise God wouldn't have to tell him not to. So he had freedom to go do that, but does that mean that he was free to do evil? It's kind of a tough question, because he was, you know, like all of us, we're allowed to make our own decisions. But what would happen if he took that fruit? What did happen when he took that fruit? The next part of that verse says, because if you eat of it, you will surely die. So God, you know, obviously pointed out that he has freedom to do whatever he wants. But he said, if you eat this, you're going to die. So basically, when you cross that line, you have given up your freedom. You have lost your ability to be independent, and you're going to die. So in a sense, you could say that freedom allows us to do whatever we want, in a sense. But without self-control, we lose the freedom. You know, you're free to drive your car however you like, but if you don't drive your car according to the rules of the road, you're either going to get arrested or you're going to die. And that happens with so many things in life. We're free to make whatever choices we want, to do whatever we want, but there's limits that we need to have, otherwise we lose our freedom. We consider our country a free nation, but our society has laws, regulations, things that we limit. And when you break those laws, you forfeit your freedom. Bernie Madoff was, you know, his judgment came down in the news last week. He was the guy that scammed a whole bunch of people out of their money, and he allowed greed to become his captive. He came under the control of greed, and he was held captive by it, and because of that, he's now going to be captive for the rest of his life. So he was free to run his financial business however he wanted, but when he chose to do something against the rules and let go of self-control, now he's in jail for 150, well, he's not going to live 150 years, but he's sentenced to 150 years. And this idea of freedom, spiritual freedom, it's not just spiritual. This idea of freedom it works on a personal level, it works on a spiritual level, it works on a national level. It's kind of like the law of gravity. It's just something that is. You can try to disobey it, but you walk off a cliff, you're going to fall to the bottom. The same way with freedom and independence. It's just the way the world works. And if a person doesn't have self-control, I mean, if a person does have self-control, then they don't need somebody else controlling them. Do you get that point? I think that's going to be the main point of this morning. If a person has self-control, they don't need somebody else to control them. When the Founding Fathers declared independence, they were saying, we don't need you to control us. We can control our own government. We can take care of ourselves. In a simple analogy, if you don't speed on the highway, you don't have to be afraid of the cops. Why? Because cops only pull over the people who are breaking the law. In the same way, if you live according to God's rules and are self-controlled, you don't have to be afraid of the wrath of God. Why? Because God is angry with the wicked. If you're righteous, you don't have to worry about God getting angry at you. So a truly free and independent person is self-disciplined, self-governing, self-reliant, self-sufficient, and self-supporting. They are free from the influence and the control of other people because they can handle life without outside control. A newborn baby comes out completely dependent on its mother. A human baby can't do anything. It can't crawl around. It can't pick things up. It's basically has to be taken care of by its mother. So that's dependence. If you've noticed animals out in the animal kingdom, a lot of them are born fairly independent. They can walk within a few minutes of being born. They can feed themselves. They can hang on to their mom. And a baby kangaroo, this is just an interesting kind of scientific fact, a baby kangaroo is born like this big, and when it's born, like its mom doesn't barely know, it crawls itself up the fur and into the mother's pouch. Like, can you imagine a human baby being able to climb like that? So there's a little difference of what it means to be dependent and independent. Thinking about independence in the context of self-control, of what you're able to do for yourself and what you're not able to do for yourself. Does anyone else think that we might have things a little mixed up in our country when it comes to what a free country means? When it comes to being independent, I think we've given up a lot of our independence as a nation. Not only are there a lot of Americans who live without much self-control at all, they're dependent on other people to take care of them, but the majority of Americans depend on the government now to take care of them, to pay their bills, to buy their food, to put them in houses. They want the government to be the one who takes care of them. And logically, if you're depending on the government to take care of you, it's because you've lost the ability or you've given up the ability to take care of yourself. You don't have self-control and self-reliance, and you've basically sacrificed your individual freedom. You've basically given up self-responsibility. You've lost your freedom. If true independence and true freedom are built on a person's ability to be fully responsible to God and to society, if we are individually responsible for what we do, for every thought we have, for every word we say, for every action we go through, if we're responsible to God and other people for what we do, then freedom, on top of not being a license to do whatever you want, freedom is being responsible for taking care of yourself. Freedom is being responsible for providing for your family. Freedom is being responsible for your government and your society. Freedom requires a lot. And instead of depending on government to take care of us, instead of depending on other people to do things for us or some other organization, when our colonial forefathers, you know, when they decided that they were going to break political ties with England, we're going to break off and become our own government, we're going to become our own country, they did it because England, the British, the king was a tyrant, and he was being extremely unfair in how he treated the colonies, and they decided they had had enough. They were being unjustly ruled, and so they turned to the source of freedom. They turned to God. God is who provides freedom, who created man to be free. Remember, God created man and woman in his own image, and God is free, and he meant for men and women to be free. And so that's what the early Americans realized. They said, we are meant to live free and not under bondage of a tyrannical government. So we are breaking free, and they declared independence. And remember, Brother Jed read the whole Declaration of Independence last Sunday, and he talked about it. I want you to listen to just these few words from it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, which meant that every person was created equal before God and the law, and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, one interesting thing is that we hold these truths to be self-evident. And I'll remember that as I read through it. Among these rights are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. In other words, if your government is tyrannical, you have the right to rebel and to form a new government. And they pointed out that these truths are self-evident. They said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which a lot of the world doesn't see those as self-evident. And the reason why is because they don't believe in God. When you believe in God, you understand that these truths are self-evident. If you don't believe in God, then they're not. And so the government was instituted by the people. The people said, we will be government. We will rule ourselves. We are sovereign. As individuals, they said, we individual people, citizens, are sovereign. and our government must listen to us. Our government must be of us. And the institution of government is the institution itself. Government is established by God. That's what they believe, that God puts government in place because he is the only true sovereign. And so a nation under God was formed with liberty and justice for all. And that can only fit the description of a country if the citizens take the responsibility of governing themselves. The same way God calls individual Christians to be self-responsible, he calls people in governments, nations, to be self-responsible. Our representatives were never meant to make a bunch of rules, you know, Congress, senators and representatives, they were never meant to make a bunch of rules for everybody else to follow. They were never meant to be the kings and the queens of our country. They were meant to present our ideas to government. They were meant to represent us and what we want for our government to do. But we handed control over to Congress. We handed control over to the government. And they didn't steal it from us. We just got tired of taking care of ourselves. We got tired of making decisions. We got tired of following politics and keeping track of what our government was doing. And so we gave our country over to Washington, D.C. and a bunch of career politicians. Americans, I don't know who said this quote, but it says, Americans used to roar like lions for liberty, and now we bleat like sheep for security. John Dickinson, one of the signers of the Constitution, and he was also on the Continental Congress, and he helped to write the first draft of the Articles of Confederation, if you've hope you've read those. And in that, he said, no free people ever existed or can exist without keeping the purse strings in their own hands. Where this is the case, they have a constitutional check upon the administration, which may thereby be brought in order without violence. But when such a power is not lodged in the people, oppression proceeds uncontrolled in its career, till the governed, transported into rage, seek redress in the midst of blood and confusion. So basically, he talked about what happened after the Declaration of Independence. The people took control again. He said that back in 1768, and there had been political revolutions both in the United States and in France. And the difference is that the American Revolution was based on God. The people said, we want a government that is run according to the principles of Christianity and what God teaches us. And they wanted order, and they wanted proper rule and self-discipline as a nation. Whereas that resulted in freedom. I mean, it really did. It was the first nation in the world to ever have that kind of freedom and independence and liberty. Whereas the French Revolution was completely lawless. Their basic principle was, we want to get God out of the country. We want the church to stop having the influence that they do. And we want to just basically make the rich people poorer and the poor people richer. And it resulted in chaos. It was anarchy in France, and they were slaves for years to themselves. And they had economic and political chaos for a long time. And it was because the basic differences was, the French Revolution was completely godless. They wanted to remove God, whereas the American Revolution wanted a country based on the principles of God and what God teaches. Proverbs 23 says, it starts this way, when dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat and don't desire all the delicacies because deception may be involved. Don't weary yourself with trying to get rich, and why waste your time? For riches disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. Don't eat with the people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it, because they're always thinking about how much it costs. You will vomit up the delicious food they serve, and you will have to take back your words of appreciation for their kindness. And that's happened in our government. People have gotten the idea that they do it to get rich. They do it to get political power. And when they offer things, they don't really offer it because they're generous. They offer it because they're looking for more power and more control. Daniel chapter 1 starts off this way. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it with his armies. And the Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar returned to Babylon, he took with him some of the sacred objects from the temple of God and placed within the treasure house of his God in the land of Babylonia. And then it goes on to tell about how he took some of the best and brightest young men to come and indoctrinate them in Babylonian culture, and so that he could then influence the culture of Israel with Babylonian rule. And some of the people that he took, if you remember, were Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, and that's where that continues on there. Well, they tried to indoctrinate them with Babylonian culture. They give them the best food to eat from, you know, they're in high office up there, so they give them the best of everything. It says, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were the four of the young men chosen from all the tribes of Judah. And they got renamed. And verse 8 says, but Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. And I think for a long time, civil rulers have been enslaving the very people that they're supposed to serve. That's happened all over the world. I'm not just talking about the United States, but God raised up governments to protect people. And our idea is that government is supposed to protect us. And instead, they offer people delicacies and dainty meats that it talks about in those past couple of scriptures. The government bestows favors upon the people. And you know, there could be in all sorts of forms. It could be like licenses that we pay the government to do things that we ought to be free to do anyway. It could be business subsidies and welfare payments, anything to make people dependent on government, to look for a handout, to live off of government control rather than to be self-disciplined. And that empowers the political rulers to manipulate and control the masses. If we've got control of who gets the food and they're living off what we supply, then they have to do what we say. And the sad thing is that in America, their power, the political power, is gift-wrapped for the politicians. Because Americans, they've forgotten the fact that they are supposed to rule this country. Americans have forgotten the fact that politicians are supposed to serve the public. And so Americans have chosen to give away their freedom and their responsibility before God. And it's happened in the church, too. As Christians, people have given up their responsibility for themselves. They've given up their self-control, and they stop living as Christ calls us to live. These are just a few of the responsibilities that we've given up to government. I wanted to read just a couple of them. And they've become a way of life for America. They've so infiltrated our culture that we just think that's the way life is. That's the way government runs. And we've gotten used to it. One is the Federal Reserve. I've talked about this before. It's a private corporation, and it's supposed to, you know, it allegedly exists to keep economy on an even keel and to make sure everybody's earning money and people have houses and things like that. But in reality, it's an engine of monetary inflation, and it continues to rob Americans. We borrow money from the Federal Reserve, and in our budget, we pay back interest. We don't have enough money to pay back the principal. In reality, we can never, ever pay back the money that we owe to the Fed. We are in continual debt to a private bank, so we're slave to the lender. That's one of the things that we've given up as a country. Another thing is nationally governed, tax-supported education. Education was never meant to be run by Washington, D.C. And you know, America has become one of the worst nations as far as public education goes. One of the worst in developed countries, which is just horribly sad. And public education these days is used to instill humanistic and socialistic ideas. But we're supposed to be in control of it. I mean, we're paying the taxes, and the government tells the schools to do things that we don't want them to do in our schools. Tax-exempt churches, if you've ever heard of 501c3 tax-exempt organizations, the church has allowed herself to become a taxed privilege rather than a God-given right. And so we have to, you know, if we don't want to pay taxes, we have to go to the IRS and say nicely, hey, can we please not pay taxes? Can you include us as one of those organizations? And this idea that Congress, if you remember the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's been completely forgotten in our society. The church is supposed to be free to worship and rule themselves the way they decide, and we've given it up, and we've basically mortgaged God's house over to the government and allowed them to have a say in what we do as Christians. Social Security cards. You know, they started Social Security. It was supposed to be this way to save society. And they've become the equivalent of national ID cards. You give your Social Security number for everything you do. And basically it turns we the people, the sovereign citizens of our country, into taxable numbers. So the government can say, you need to give us money. And we're no longer sovereign citizens. And then federal and state income tax withholding. We all pay income tax. If you read through the Constitution and if you read through the IRS code, there's a lot of misconstrued rules that force people out of their right to property. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it, but basically, instead of trading our time and our talents for property or for the pursuit of happiness that the Declaration of Independence is about, we're giving the government money that they don't deserve, that they aren't allowed to have constitutionally. Protection by, and this is just kind of a funny sideline, the FDA. You know, the FDA is supposed to protect us from horrible things, but like so many other government organizations, this is all through government, they've allowed private interests to become the rulers in public practice. In the FDA and lots of other organizations, executives go back and forth between the private world and the government. So it's a horrible conflict of interest, and there's lots of medications that we don't get that are helpful because the FDA is controlling business, not necessarily medicine. And that's just one of many organizations in our government. Real estate taxes. How many of you have a house? You all pay real estate taxes. Otherwise, you could call that rent. You could pay off your house and not have a mortgage, and you still pay rent to the county. Nobody owns property in the United States anymore. We're supposed to have rights to property. We don't have property anymore. You pay taxes on your cars and your houses and your land, and nobody really owns anything. You continually pay rent for the rest of your lives on the things that you supposedly own. Jury members are instructed to judge considering only the facts. The judge tells them, you just think about the facts and not your own opinions in this case, which would sound like a good thing, but they aren't told to consider the justness of the law. That's called jury nullification, and it takes an important political right of the people to judge whether laws are lawful or not and puts it back in the hands of the judge instead of we the people. And so these are just a few examples. We could go through lots of this kind of stuff, but they're rights that we've given up as a people, that we don't allow our government to be in control, that we don't allow us to be in control of anymore. The government's in control. They seem harmless, and we've gotten used to them, but they rob people of independence. We, the people, were meant to have independence, and we seem perfectly happy to give up our independence on the 4th of July and trade it for some firecrackers and bottle rockets and patriotic songs and welfare and Social Security and coming soon socialized medicine. We'll celebrate and not think about how our government is supposed to be run under godly principles by godly people. That's how the government was designed. Our national anthem is about a terrible battle for independence. It's the attack on Fort McHenry in 1812, the War of 1812, was written by Francis Key on a British ship. He was there being held overnight because they had gone there to discuss treaties, and he was sitting on that ship watching the British attack Fort McHenry. So the rockets' red glare and the bombs bursting in air were weapons of mass destruction. They weren't sparklers. There were people dying, and so that's what our song is about. And many people gave up their lives for our independence. They realized how valuable it was to be a free nation, to be an independent nation, to be able to rule ourselves and be sovereign as people. And we have traded our independence away for a false sense of security from the government, to get payments from the government, to get niceties from the government. The fourth verse of the national anthem, I'm sure that there's four verses, but the last verse of the national anthem says, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Psalm 141 says, O Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer of incense offered to you and my upraised hands and as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and keep my lips sealed. Don't let me lust for evil things. Don't let me participate in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do evil. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they reprove me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. But I am in constant prayer against the wicked and their deeds. When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, they will listen to my words and find them pleasing, even as a farmer breaks up the soil and brings up the rocks, so the bones of the wicked will be scattered without a decent burial. It's a pretty strong request. That's, God, if I start to get greedy, if I start to look at the free handouts, strike me down. Let godly people knock me into my senses, basically. It will be a kind act. Don't let me get away with that kind of stuff. And we've allowed ourselves to get away with giving up our rights and our responsibilities to government. Government has gone from our government to the government, like it's some outside entity that we have nothing to do with. I don't know how many of you talk to your congressmen and senators on the phone, if ever. Do you even know them? Have you ever met them? We're supposed to be running the government. We're supposed to be influencing those people. Being a pastor from the, you know, thinking about the revolution, being a pastor, it's kind of cool to know that the clergy played a pretty significant part in the revolution. They were making our country free. They preached fiery sermons about politics and religion and, you know, the things that people aren't supposed to talk about in polite society, that basically the two main topics of real life. And they talked about it. Our colonial forefathers were taught biblical values. They were taught Christian values in light of politics, and they were taught to take responsibility and for themselves and for the weak and the poor and to be Christian men, strong men, who would defend themselves and defend their country and to watch out for governments that tried to take control of you and steal your liberty. The clergy, they were known as the Black Brigade because they wore long black robes. And so they were called, by the British, called them the Black Brigade, and they were brigade. And the British hated them because they were teaching the people to stand up for themselves and take responsibility for themselves and what freedom means and what independence means and just how valuable it was. And we need another Black Brigade in our nation today of Christians telling the world about what it means to be free under God, to be free and independent and to take responsibility for yourselves and for your country and for your neighbors and to really stand up and be strong for what God teaches us. That's why so many immigrants were attracted to America. And we had immigrants from all over the world who came here looking for freedom because there was no other place in the world to find it. They truly wanted to live free of oppression, religious and political. And they came here because they knew they could find it. It was the only place in the world. And now all we have to offer, because we've given that up, all we have to offer is welfare, is government-controlled lives. And we would never have had an American Revolution without Christians who understood the need for being responsible, who understood that we need to be God-fearing citizens. And they understood that true freedom is found in God and God alone. And without God, there is no freedom because men rule the world without God. And we need to preach about freedom again. We need to tell the world about freedom as Christians. We need to remind our nation that independence cannot exist unless we're willing to govern ourselves. Freedom cannot exist unless we're willing to have self-control. The moment we begin to depend on government, we've given up our freedom. When we learn to depend on government for our paychecks, for our food, for our housing, we've lost the ability to govern ourselves, to take care of ourselves. The moment that governing becomes someone else's job, we've lost our independence. We've lost our freedom. Governing is our job. even the national government is our job. Even if you're not in politics, you're supposed to be telling your politicians what they're supposed to do. A few verses that drive this idea home, I'll just read a couple really quick. One is 2 Corinthians in chapter 3 at verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more." Freedom never comes from government, ever. Freedom comes from God, and government is appointed by God with the duty of protecting freedom. The sad thing is that more often than not, rulers become corrupt and use their power and influence to do things that they shouldn't, and basically steal the freedom that they were given power to protect. And this has happened for thousands of years. It happened back when Pharaoh stole the freedom of the Israelites, when they were made captives of Egypt, and then God had to rescue them. And that's why the Founding Fathers were so careful to construct our government with checks and balances, so that the government would never have the kind of power that we've handed over them today. Unfortunately, they were counting on godly, self-controlled people to be the citizens and to be the politicians. They were planning on the nation taking part in governing themselves rather than passing on the duty to people who's made it a career. And the foundation of freedom has always been spiritual. In Genesis, God created people in His own image, patterned them after Himself, male and female, and meant for us to be free. And when God's people are faithful in serving God by applying His word, by living out what He's told us to do in every aspect of daily lives, it's only then that we can hope to live free and to be independent and self-responsible individuals. And when God's people fail to live according to His laws, to live according to His precepts, then God curses us by allowing bad rulers to take over. When we fail to live according to the way God teaches us to, then He gives tyrants the ability to rule over us. He gives our enemies the ability to attack us and win. When we fail to follow God, God says, "I'm going to hand you over to the world then." So as Christians, we need to take back control of our nation. Otherwise, God is going to continue to hand us over to tyrannical rulers and our enemies. So that comes out of the Bible in a lot of places. You can read it Old Testament and New. When you give up self-control, God says, fine, you don't need any freedom. 1 Corinthians 7, at verse 20, says, "You should continue on as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get the chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, the Lord has now set you free from the awful power of sin. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. God purchased you at a high price, so don't be enslaved by the world." So again, he's pointing out, you know, whatever your political situation is, you're supposed to be free to have self-control under God. And if you get a chance politically to find freedom, then do it. We have a chance. Our country is still based, our laws still give us the power as the people. We just have to take it. So the way the laws are written aren't totally bad, but we need to take part. One final thought. I'm just going to share this kind of the on your responsibility when it comes to government. It's in Romans 13. I'm sure you've heard this before. It says, "Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God, so those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. And punishment will follow. For the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who do wrong. So do what they say and you will get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you. But if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. So you must obey the government for two reasons: to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience." So, and it also says, "Pay your taxes too, for the same reasons. For government workers need to be paid so they can keep on doing the work God intended them to do. Give to everyone what you owe them, and pay your taxes and import duties, and give respect and honor to all to whom it is due." So we're called to be good, honest citizens, and a Christian, a true Christian, is the best citizen you can have if they're living the Christian life, because they're called to be good citizens. We were never meant to endure ungodly tyranny. You know, it was right of the last week, a bunch of people stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance. and I pledge allegiance to the flag, a piece of cloth, and to the republic for which it stands, which is our country. We pledged our allegiance to this country, said we'll do what the government says. But then we also said at the end, and the only reason that this is right to say that pledge is because we said one nation under God. So we pledged our allegiance to our country, but above that, we pledged our allegiance to God. The same way the founding fathers said, you know, we did have allegiance to our country, but our country lost God. And our higher allegiance is to God, and so we're going to take over our country again. So that's what we're called to do as Christians, to be responsible for our government, to be responsible to God. Sadly, we've dishonored the sacrifice of our founding fathers by giving up freedoms, but we can take them back again. We can stand up. So the question remains, are you willing to give up your dependence for independence? It takes work. It takes sacrifice. Are you willing to stop being dependent and to take self-responsibility for independence? Galatians 5:1 was our scripture for today. It says, so Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And I'll talk some more about that tonight. But basically, it's for freedom that we're set free, is what Paul was saying. And we need to be willing to take responsibility to live in freedom, to take responsibility to be independent. We can choose to live in bondage, or we can choose freedom. We can choose to be independent or independent. So it's our choice to make. So that's my thought on Christianity and our nation on Independence Day, and I hope that you'll think about it. I hope that you'll really stop to think about what our government is supposed to be like. What are the principles that our government was based on, the principles that our laws still have in the Constitution. We're still based on the Constitution. Read it. You can find it online. Read the Bill of Rights. Read the Articles of the Confederation. Realize that you, as a citizen of the country, are responsible for your government. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors. All of us who are Americans have responsibility to step up and run our country, to be responsible. And I hope that you'll take that responsibility as Christians. Sound good? Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much that we do live in a free country, that you have put this place in the world. What an amazing difference this was when the founding fathers stood up and said that we want to have independence. God, I pray that you would help us to understand independence and how valuable that is, what it means, and that you would help us to be independent and that we would have freedom because not only we live according to your rules and your laws, but we have self-control. Help us to understand what that means and to take part again in how our country is run, to take back our freedom, to take responsibility for ourselves and our government and our families. God, give us that strength and help us to be good citizens. Thank you so much for this wonderful country that we live in and for the chance to have a country that started because of you, that started based on your principles. Help us to bring those principles back in our country. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.